Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we go and look at this passage this morning, that we can be encouraged by it, challenged by it, as we appreciate how God can lead in a most miraculous way. And to be encouraged to appreciate it just as God led out in the events we're going to look at, so too can God lead in our lives too. May we look to Jesus and appreciate Him this day is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Nehemiah had this very experience, interesting experience initially, where he met up with a friend and asked how things were in Jerusalem. And things were not good. Things in Jerusalem were sad. And then Nehemiah prayed. And at the end of Nehemiah chapter 1, we find him saying, "But I am the king's cupbearer. I am the king's cupbearer. Use me, Lord, if you can." And now I want to take you now to Nehemiah chapter 2, because here in this chapter, we've got an interesting situation that develops. Nehemiah chapter 2, come with me there, please. And in verse 1, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence." You know, it's amazing how a few words can set up, a setting. Nehemiah is before the king. Nehemiah is before the king and he is sad. The sadness was so great, he was not able to cover it up. Ever tried to cover something up? Ever tried to cover something up before God? You know, the reality is, we'll never get away with it. Not with God. Because God sees everything. God knows everything. God sees you. God sees me. So here is Nehemiah before the king, and he's sad. Verse 2. "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." Then I was sore afraid. Here we have the king asking a simple question. What's the problem? Are you sick? Medical problem? If not, then the problem must be from your heart. What is the problem? And here, as we read this, we get a picture of a king who is not going to be fooled. There's some people you can fool all the time. You may be able to fool all the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. And the king was not able to be fooled. What's your problem? You were switched on. And you know, God is not fooled either. God can see through you. He sees exactly who you are, where you're at. He sees your sincerity. He sees the lack of it. He knows everything about you. God's not fooled. God's not fooled. In verse 3. And he said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? It is interesting to note how the reply begins. O king, live forever. Respect. Respect. Nehemiah is respectful to the king. We need to be respectful to God too. You know, in this little passage, as we're looking at it, there are so many practical lessons we can learn. To be respectful is one of them. To be respectful. But then there is honesty in the answer. Nehemiah is willing to be honest with the king. Sir, we have a problem. We have a problem. My homeland is in a mess. There are so many things that are going wrong. My heart is breaking. When you talk to God, are you honest with him? Do we feel comfortable enough with our Heavenly Father that we can say, Lord, things are not going well as I planned? Can we talk to our Heavenly Father with honesty? He wants honesty. And here Nehemiah is saying to the king, my homeland's in a mess. It really is. And because of his honesty, he then gets an interesting response, because the king said unto me in verse 4, for what dost thou make request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven. The king puts to him this question, is there anything I can do? Anything I can do? What a question to be asked. And as we look at this scene, we see something happen here which we could all learn from, and that was that before he answered, what did Nehemiah do? He prayed. He said a simple prayer to the God of heaven. And how well we would all do well to remember to pray to the Lord for guidance. Come with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, here we've got a verse to consider. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. Simple little command. Pray without what? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. And verse 2 says, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. Unto thee will I pray. The first verse we read was pray without ceasing. And the verse we got here is directing our prayer to God, to appreciate who we are praying to. Ephesians. Come with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying with what? Perseverance. You know, here in these passages, we are invited to pray. We are invited to pray. And that the Father in heaven is ever so willing to hear us. He wants to talk to you. He wants to listen to you. He wants to hear you speak with him. He wants to hear you. And then Nehemiah, in chapter 2, verse 5, he puts a request. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant has found favour in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah and unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Here is the request being put to the king. Having first prayed, Nehemiah then asked the king that he would be allowed to go and to rebuild the walls of the city and to do what he felt he could do. You know, and having first prayed, he knew that his request was being given with the command of God. Matthew chapter 7, come with me there. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He prayed, and then with confidence, he put the request. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 22. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 22. Go back a verse. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Whatsoever we ask. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. Here you got Nehemiah praying, Lord, Lord, this is a golden opportunity. And I'm sure in that short little prayer, he would have said, Lord, please hear this request. Nehemiah chapter 2. Verse 6. Here we got the practicality of a king when he says, and the Lord and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Here we find the question is being asked, how long will it take? How long? What do you need? What are you hoping to do? When do you plan to return? And when you look at these questions, we find here we have a king that is not only interested in the project, but he is also interested in the safety of his cupbearer. When are you going to return? And when you take in this scene, what we have here before us is a master and a servant who had a very good working relationship, one with the other. And I guess even in here there is a challenge for us. What is your working relationship like with God? Do you feel comfortable praying with God? Are you comfortable talking with Him? Are you confident that He hears you? Challenging, isn't it? What is our relationship with God? In the quiet time that we have at home, when we kneel and we pray to Him, are we confident with Him? Are we comfortable with Him? Do we know Him? Do we love Him? Do we respect Him? Because here in the next passage is an interesting situation. Said to the king, "If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And the letter unto Asp, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me." Interesting picture. Nebuchadnezzar has been given permission to go. But you know, Nehemiah was very wisely chose not to go in his own strength. And God does not expect you and me to do things in our own strength either. What He wants to see from us is cooperation. We can do far greater things cooperating with God than trying to do it in our own strength. And so, here we've got this beautiful scene of cooperation happening, with the end result being that now as he goes to do this job, he is now going with the power of the king behind him. He's got letters. That whatever he asked, because he has a letter from the king, the people would give him respect. With the king's letters, he has authority. He has power. You know, when we go on God's errand, we've got heaven's authority. We've got heaven's power. Consider with me the following. Matthew 28. Come with me there. Matthew 28. Verse 18 to 20 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Why are we doing it? Verse 18, all power is given me. Power comes from heaven. Mark 16, beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Cooperation. Working together. What a wonderful sign of power. Luke 24, verse 49 onwards. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Beautiful sign, beautiful scene. But hey, power was given them. They were not on their own. And like Nehemiah, we too can have the authority to do great things for God. And by his word it can be done. Even today. With the Holy Spirit beside us, there is nothing to fear. And as we remember, it was Jesus who gave the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But he gave it if only we would remember to ask him. You know, it all is so simple. But it all begins with a prayer. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to pray? James chapter 5. Verse 16 has got, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You know, it begins with confessing faults, pray one for another that you may be healed. By praying. Thinking back on the prayer he did earlier, the first prayer he did in chapter 1, he was willing to admit his own faults. He was willing to admit where they all had gone wrong. He prayed for one another that they could be healed. You know how much more we could achieve if only we would take the time to be right with God. God loves us. He does. Do we love him? Do we avail ourselves of what he is longing to do through us? If only we would allow him to come in. We read that all heaven is waiting for us to pray such a prayer of invitation. To please come in and to change our hearts. To please come in and to change us to know you better, Lord. To please come in and to use us for your service. But in James chapter 5 verse 16, and the second part says, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What a statement. That with prayer you can achieve much for heaven and for God. This is what we find with Nehemiah. He was willing to be right with God and to have sins forgiven. He was willing to ask. He was willing to be used. And what was the end result? God did use him. God did a mighty work through him. And today, we too can do a mighty work for God. We today can be a worker for God. But it all begins with a simple act. The simple act of praying. Praying. Nehemiah was willing to pray. What about us? Are we also willing to pray? And as we face the coming week, whatever may come our way in the week that lies ahead, may we each be willing to pray and to allow God to lead us wherever he sees fit that we should be for his glory. Have a good week. Dear Heavenly Father, as we leave this place today, may we leave with a greater desire and a determination to be more and more like Jesus. Be with each head that is bowed here, we pray. May your Holy Spirit abide in our hearts. Dear Father, may we all see Jesus. May we each be faithful. Is our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.